Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Finally back. It's the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you would like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so feel free to swing over there and make sure you check those out. But, you know, as always, stop by any day because you just never know what's going to happen over there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link itself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, of course, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E.
Oh, so, all right, Dan, I know normally I just kind of give everybody a hard time on the MLB Network, but I want to give them some credit today, because, or actually this like last week or month or whatever, because man, they are trying so hard to make the MLB draft seem like it's important. It's tonight. It starts in about 30 minutes, and obviously there's just kind of no way to explain to anybody that unless you're you'd have to be like an over-the-top baseball fan. I mean, even more than you or I, this really is just absolutely nothing, right?
I mean, I'm trying to find the words.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, obviously somewhere down the line, you know, these guys are going to come in and, you know, hopefully they'll contribute to whoever drafts them. But, you know, especially with baseball, I mean, you know, you can find guys down in the 50th, 60th round that, you know, come in and have Hall of Fame type careers or, you know, in some cases, you know, guys that aren't even drafted, you know, will come through and, you know, become these big time stars. So it's so hit or miss. And I think until they can find a way to allow the foreign players to be involved with this, I don't think it's really ever going to be that big of a deal for people, is it?
No, and what do you mean by the foreign players involved? You mean
well,
like
you know,
the draft from,
yeah, you know, the guys from Venezuela or Cuba or wherever they're finding some of these guys at, you know, they're just signed as free agents.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, and I mean, because these guys go out, you know, they sign some of those guys that, you know, 14 years old or whatever. And, they're not drafted. So, I mean, you find some of the best players in the game, you know, it's not like the NFL or the NBA where once every great while you get a guy who wasn't drafted that, you know, ends up being a huge star. I mean, it's just kind of a given in baseball that they're going to go out outside somewhere and grab a kid from – you know, whatever countries, from Japan, Korea, you know, wherever they come from, and that, you know, that's that. You know, and, you know, and I guess the other part, this just kind of popped in, is it almost, you know, I want to say, you know, let's, you know, I guess unfair is the word I'll use, even though I don't totally mean it that way. But is it a little off base that these guys are drafted So they really have no choice of where they're going to go play. I mean, the Orioles have first pick. You know, if they take that catcher from Oregon State, his only option is to sit out the entire year, you know, or go play in Japan like that pitcher did, where, you know, if you're, you know, a foreign-born player, you're open to negotiate with any team.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's almost to the point where if you're good at baseball in this country, you almost need to go the route of Bryce Harper, you know, try to graduate high school via online by the time you're 15 or 16. Or, you know, not even do that.
Yeah, it just seemed... you know, I mean, obviously, you know, it's fun for these guys. I mean, I'm sure it's a fantastic experience. You know, some of them are actually at the draft. Others are at home waiting to get drafted. So, you know, we'll have to see how that works out for them. But yeah, it's just, you know, unlike, you know, the NFL or the NBA, where we're going to see these guys immediately, you know, and even the NHL, when it comes to first round picks, you know, the majority of those guys come right into the league and play. I don't see, you know, how long it's going to be before we see these guys, right? You know, I mean, what's the minimum here? I think, yeah, you figure what the first, you know, the first guy we're going to see is what, five years down the road, maybe at the most, before one of these guys pop up, right? You figure what, 5 years, maybe, well, I guess maybe a hit would be 3 or 4, depending on how fast they bring them along. But yeah, you figure what, 5 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, that also depends on his age. If he's straight out of high school, it might be 5-6. But, you know, a guy like Chris Bryant, you know, I don't know how far along he was in college, but won college series, World Series MVP, Player of the Year, Minor League, and then MVP, or Rookie of the Year, and then MVP. So it doesn't happen like that all the time. But what I was trying to say before I got kicked off was almost to the point where you might as well try a LaMelo Ball when you're 14, 15, or 16 and go pro, you know, south of the border.
Yeah, I wouldn't have any, you know, any problem, you know, with guys doing that, you know, especially baseball players. You know, I would be interested to know how they would kind of rule on that if a guy just decided, you know, hey, I'm going to go live here and play ball here, then do I become a free agent like those guys do? You know? But, yeah, you know, like I said, I mean, I give them a lot of credit for trying, you know, it's great. You know, no matter who the first pick is, you know, again, you're probably not going to see this guy till 2022 or 3. I know they were talking. It was funny. I was listening to, I can't even remember which expert it was allegedly, but he was talking about how good this guy's swing was, that he could step right into the major league lineup today. You know, and teams should think about just bringing him right. Yeah, okay, forget it. That's not going to happen. So,
yeah, but then his arbitration clock really starts ticking, man.
Yeah, and of course, you know, they don't mention that. And, you know, the MLB draft is also the only one where you'll ever hear, and I don't know if they'll use the guy, you know, today actually say something like that, but, you know, the term signability will come up. So, you know, that, because, you know, it was humorous, because that's actually how, years back, the White Sox ended up with Chris Sale. You know, he should have been probably a top five pick, and everybody was worried about signing him, and I think the White Sox got him at 13. So, that's always one of those weird, weird one of those things. So I was just kind of like, oh, you know, I wonder how many times we'll hear that today.
About as many as you hear pitchability.
Yeah, I don't know, what other fun facts they'll use here. So, but yeah, I was just kind of like, great. Here we get to listen to that. But, we'll see. I mean, I know one of the best guys is a switch hitting catcher. So, who knows, who's going to go where. And I know Bobby Witt has a kid in the draft who's really good, who just happens to be named Bobby Witt. So if it sounds familiar, that's why. So, we'll see how it goes. And, hopefully, everybody becomes a star and we can keep talking about it. But
yeah, well, I mean, my favorite is from a couple of years ago with the White Sox. The draft of Jose or Juan Soto was to be a top shortstop prospect for the White Sox. After the draft came out, Chris Levine, who covers the White Sox and covers for whatever station, flat out came out and said that this is going to be the guy playing shortstop in 2019 and possibly 2020 if they're in the World Series.
They'll be in the World Series next year? That's awesome. Oh.
When you pull up the numbers, you're like, I don't think this guy's going to make it.
Oh. Yeah, and how odd is it now that Tim Anderson has been one of the top shortstops in baseball this year? Probably deserves to be an all-star. It is a pretty tough position. So. But, all right, well, enough pre-draft talk with Dan and I. That is starting in about, 15, 20 minutes if you're interested. Obviously the MLB Network is going to cover it. But I was glad to hear something else, Dan. Baseball, obviously, with all the teams and all the divisions, it's very stressful to cover. So, I was watching Intentional Talk. I don't enjoy the show as much as I used to, but it's still okay. And fortunately, Crystal has helped me out a great deal, because since the Cubs got swept over the weekend and the Brewers swept the Pirates, apparently the NL Central is now over because Milwaukee has a game and a half lead, Dan. So we can put that away. We don't have to worry about the NL Central anymore. Just go ahead and give the division to the Brewers, and you and I can move on and talk about the other five. So I was glad to at least have that happen today.
Well, then, if the Brewers are a game and a half, the East is over with, too, because Philly definitely won.
Well, yeah, that was the part that was a little confusing to me, is I think the Brewers might have the smallest division lead out of any team. I want to check it here, but my curse, Dan. When I check something online, it slows down and doesn't want to work. Here the Yankees are up 2.5. The Twins are actually up 11.5. The Phillies only have a game lead, while the Dodgers have a 9-game lead, and the Astros are up 8.5. I skipped that division. So, I'm a little confused, Dan, with how a team with a game and a half lead has just locked down their division, and a team like Minnesota or the Dodgers, who we all believe is a good team, who have gigantic leads, haven't locked down their divisions yet. Can you explain that one?
Well, now approach Oak Forest.
I get that everybody loves the Brewers. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, it's like, you know, oh, they're just amazing with what they do because, you know, they're sabermetrically run. You know, they look at all the cool stuff they do where they use a starting pitcher for one guy in a playoff game and then they take him out. And, you know, it's magical that they do these things. You know, I guess that, I don't know, since it was probably last month, most people don't remember that the Cubs took 2 out of 3 from them the last time they met. And they only took 3 out of 4 from the Pirates. They actually lost one of the games. They should have lost the extra inning game on Saturday, but they had some good breaks. You know, Dan, I don't even know if a team's got an 11.5 game lead that I'm willing to give them the division because it's only June. You got to help me out with this. I get so lost. Was it just the fact that the Cubs are doing so much better than their projections that you have to continually crap on them because you had them as being bad before the year started?
Oh, yeah. I mean, at what point do you go, oh, I told you so. When do you get to do that?
Oh, hang on. You cut out in the middle of your sentence there. I didn't hear what you finished up with.
Oh, I said at some point they've got to be allowed to say, I told you so.
Yeah, it's baffling to me when, you know, and maybe the Brewers will win the division. I mean, they're a good team. I mean, if you remember just last week, everybody had thrown the Cardinals out because they went from the top of the division to the division to third place in a hurry because, you know, they hit a bad stretch. You know, now they're only 3 games out and they're over 500 again and they're the – you know, they're another popular team. You know, one of the discussions today I saw was, you know, will all 3 of these teams make the playoffs? You know, and I mean, I still think it'll probably only be 2, but, you know, there's a shot that we could see all 3 again, which I think they did a couple years in a row, but it was the Pirates was that 3rd team because I think the Brewers were still rebuilding. So, yeah, I don't know. These guys baffle me, and I don't know. Is it something they have to do because their producers think it's going to get shock value and idiots like me are going to bring it up to people like you so we can talk about it, or are they really just this stupid?
I think they're just not thinking, just trying to shock them. Like that. You know, it's just crazy how they went from being beloved going into that World Series winning. Or, you know, not even that year, but the year prior, that they were so far ahead. But you don't care anyone about the Astros in that thing.
So, yeah, I don't know. It just, you know, it gets... you know, I don't even know what the term... I guess the best way to put it is it just makes me want to change the channel. You know, it's just kind of like, why am I sitting here listening to this? Because, the Cubs got swept in St. Louis. I mean, it's not like they went to Miami or Baltimore and got swept in a 3-game series. You know, it's not like the Cardinals are a bad team. You know, and obviously if you watched any of the games, you know, the Cubs offense really struggled. All they needed was a visit from the Angels and their old buddy Trevor Cahill to kind of work that out today. As they're, what are they? I think they were up 8-1 the last time I checked the score. Yeah, it's 8-1 in the top of the 8th inning. So, you know, just a nice little visit there and a return home seems to have helped their bats out. But, yeah, I sit there and I listen to these things and I'm like, wait, did he just say the division is over? Yeah, I feel like John Belushi from Animal House. Over? Nothing is over until we say it is. Oh, okay, sorry. You know, but I won't go on till about the Germans bombing Pearl Harbor and stuff. That's a whole different segment to the line there. But yeah, I guess maybe I miss them. Maybe I don't read enough into what happens in these games. Is that my problem? Maybe that's my problem.
Well, you know, that, like you said, Joe Madden had adapted to using an opener. And that's all I got.
Yeah, well, I did hear today, the Angels used an opener today, and I heard just a bit and pieces about it that apparently the Cubs were upset by it. And I don't know if maybe, the Angels had scheduled a guy and then they made the switch like that. But I was surprised to see that, that was a kind of an issue there.
Yeah, well, it's amazing to me, though, that the days of Tom Zimmer and, we can go on. Bobby Cox from Atlanta. That lineup was put together. And if you change the pitcher, that lineup is still going out there because you had Cartman and all your players.
And oddly, I don't believe Madden changed the lineup at all. I think they actually did that. They stuck with the same thing. But, yeah, it was just kind of weird that somebody was actually bothered by it.
Yeah, well, I mean, how long before we hear people drumming and trying to pull up that pitching rule needs to be established?
Yeah, I think that is a rule. You have to announce so far before, right?
No, I meant you have to, your first pitcher has to go so many innings.
Who knows? I don't care about it. But I can tell you, Dan, I believe it or not, I actually did what I said I was going to do. I tracked Mike Trout's at bats against the number three hitter, whoever was hitting behind him in the lineup. And I started, on my first day off, which was May 24th, and I did it all the way through yesterday. So in those, how many days is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. In those 10 days, Dan, Trout had one off day, but those at-bats matched up, so they kind of canceled each other out. So in the 9 games Trout played in those days against the three hitter, who in most cases it was Shohei Ohtani, believe it or not, Trout had 2 more at-bats, official at-bats, over a 9-game span than the guy hitting behind him. Now you and I have always, it's always kind of been like, well, hey, it's not that big a deal. This probably equals out to what you say it. If it even on the high side, if it's 2 at bats every 10 games, Trout's gonna get what? He's gonna get, what? Well, you figure 10. Let's see, 10, 20. I need my calculator, but yeah, he's gonna get a few more at bats. I don't know, Dan. Is that gonna be enough at bats for it to make a difference, like everybody says it's going to?
You're looking at 36 at bat kind of.
And obviously I haven't put today's in just yet, but it looks like Trout he's in the process. He has 6 at bats already. Somebody's in the guard. Or no, he has 4 at bats already. The guy behind him has 3. The Angels do have 1 more at bat coming. I'm guessing Trout must have made the last out. So those at bats are going to even up today once Pujols gets his at bat in the top of the 9th inning, or whoever gets the at bat in the top of the 9th inning. So yeah, I don't know. And again, that's a little on the high side. I'm going to stay with it, or try to stay with it a little longer, because it's a small sample size, and just kind of see if or what or how it ends up kind of working out, because I don't know if you know, if there's going to be enough at bats for that to really make a difference, like, you know, like they talk about it doing.
Yeah, well, not only that, you know, being at the top of the order, you know, his walk is only going to take away from the technical advance. So.
Yeah, well, I made sure to count those, though. You know, I make sure I put the, you know, how many plate appearances he actually gets. I don't leave the walks out or anything. So, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, even that, if he gets a walk, then that just adds another at bat to the guy standing behind him.
Right.
Well, I mean,
so.
How is that made it happen? It just doesn't make any sense to me. I haven't seen any definitive proof.
Yeah, that's what kind of my thing. I haven't really seen enough to where this really makes a difference.
Well,
so,
I mean, even that, he's got a guy who can actually hit the ball, put it in play, and he's batting second. You got Mike Trout behind him. You're going to pitch to that guy in front of you.
Yeah, you know that. Yeah, that would be the other thing. I mean, if you find a guy who can get on or take pitches, you know, even if a guy takes a bunch of walks, like you said, well, whether it's one more base runner on for Trout, you know, instead of, you know, maybe he doesn't get the extra, you know, well, you know, I think 36 is a little high, so we'll say 15, maybe 20 extra at bats, he will have those extra times to drive in a run. You know, instead of being the guy who's trying to drive in, he would be the guy who's driving in the run. So I don't think I buy the idea there. So but we did have also, Dan, I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, but we got our first. Oh, you know, trade with at least the guy we know involved in it. I know there's always kind of minor stuff going on. But the Phillies acquired Jay Bruce from the Mariners. You know, not only did they get Jay Bruce, apparently they got like $18 million to help pay off Bruce's contract. And in return, the Mariners got a player by the name of Jake Schiner. He's a corner infielder, outfielder who's in high class A right now is where they have him listed as playing for Philadelphia. I'm under the impression that the Phillies made this move because they think the Odubel Herrera situation is going to get bad. You know, he's on leave for a domestic violence incident. So I'm under the impression that they think he's done for the year. So they went out and got Bruce. Oh, did I lose Dan again? Oh, no, I didn't. Dan's still there. Oh, he could be on break. It is about that time. So, but, yeah, you know, Bruce is, you know, again, it depends how you look at this. Like, to me, he's not having a very good year, but I'm sure everybody is excited because he does have 14 bombs. The only problem is he's hitting .212 and he struck out 53 times in 47 games. So, you know, that's not exactly fantastic to me, but I know they're going to look at the 14 home runs and everybody's going to be really excited. And, you know, this is what Jay Bruce does. I mean, he had a career high 36 home runs just a couple seasons ago. You know, he was dinged up last year, only played in 94 games and never really got it going. He's a career .246 hitter. You know, I'm sure he'll plug in all right to that Phillies lineup. And like I said, I believe they sent Nick Williams went down again to make the move here for Bruce. But let me kind of double check here with what we got going on. And yeah, you figure, yeah, you know, he'll be. My guess is McCutchen will move to center, where he's played before and been a Gold Glover. Bruce will go out and take over in left field. They're not going to move Bryce Harper out of right field, unless maybe Harper would go to center field and we would say CJ Bruce play right, which he's played the majority of. But you know, it does give the Phillies, you know, another left-handed bat. Harper is the only lefty-lefty in the lineup. Cesar Hernandez is a switch hitter. So, you know, they add a little power. Not sure if they needed a little power, but they added a little power. You know, I'll be interested to see, like, where they plug him in the lineup. But, you know, Bruce is familiar with the American League. He's, you know, longtime Cincinnati Red, so it's not like, you know, there's going to be an adjustment or anything. Did I say American League? Sorry. Yeah. but, yeah, Dan, I was wondering, I forgot it was around your time there, but do you think they made this move because Odubel Herrera is going to get hit with a big-time suspension?
Can you go over it again? So Jay Bruce is with the Phillies now?
Yeah. Yeah, they picked him up for a minor leaguer, but what they say here about Herrera, it says he's been placed on administrative leave and is facing potential league discipline stemming from an off-field incident. He will remain inactive until the league determines a suspension. So I'm kind of guessing this is why they made the move.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if to be honest, after I got dropped off earlier, for some reason, I always lose internet connectivity when I'm on a call. So, but if you were in Yahoo Fantasy, so the report is a little bit more detrimental to Odubel, saying that he actually caused bodily harm to her.
Oh.
So, and I guess it was visible. And, you know, I guess just to touch on it a little bit, professional athletes, I think you should stay out of New Jersey. Where the hell was he at? What's that place again?
Oh, I didn't see where it happened. I just heard about it.
Oh, he was at the same place as Ray Rice.
Oh, yeah, in New Jersey? Yeah.
Yeah. So, number one, you know, maybe they should, you know, stay away from there. But, two, you know, the sad part is, you know, not being from this country and standards, gender roles, and all that good stuff are not to the same caliber as they are here. I'm not excusing what he did. Don't get me wrong. But to me, that's the unfortunate part, is that were he back where he's from, this would not even be news. And I think that's kind of an issue. But the flip side of that is he's been in the league long enough to have seen, you know, fellow players, you know, within Major League Baseball. And, you know, Philadelphia is a major city with all major teams. So, you know, there really is no excuse for what he did.
No.
You know, I mean.
You know.
But, now getting back to your point, I think it's a good corresponding move for the Phillies to make. I missed out on Cesar Hernandez. He's still with the Phillies, or did he get shipped to Seattle?
No. He's still with the Phillies. No, all Seattle was a minor league, a Class A minor leaguer. So.
Well, that's not all they got. You know what else they got? They got rid of some payroll.
Yeah, except they had to give up $18 million in the deal. So how much of the payroll did they really get rid of? They basically sent the equivalent of Bruce's contract with them. So,
that's big. But, you know, maybe now we know what role they're going back into, since they've completely fallen out of the graces of first place in AL West. They had a great run at the beginning of April. But, I mean, to me, it's a pretty decent move. But how do we feel about Bryce Harper, full-time center fielder?
Well, you know, I guess the question is it Bryce Harper, or do you just put McCutcheon back there where you want a gold glove?
Oh, yeah, I guess I didn't think of that. So, I mean, where was McCutcheon playing to begin with? Was he playing right, center, left?
He's been playing left field because, you know, Herrera was the center fielder.
Center fielder, yeah. You know, I mean, it may not be a bad move to put him back at center because, I mean, you're not putting Jay Bruce at center, number one. And I mean, the biggest toss up though is, you know, who else do you have? Because you got to have someone else. And then, you know, who are you throwing in left, right, or Bruce? Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, well, the lineup tonight has McCutchen leading off in center field. Harper stays in right field. He hits third. And Sean Rodriguez gets the start in left field tonight. He's a what you would describe as a super utility guy. Yeah, basically he did that with the Pirates. So he's played some outfield. I'm wondering if maybe Bruce hasn't reported yet because he's got a couple days. I think they give a guy 2 or 3 days to report. But, you know, contract-wise, you know, Herrera has a club option at the end of this year. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Phillies are probably going to pay the $2.5 million buyout and allow him to go in free agency. Bruce is signed for next year at $14 million, but obviously the Mariners covered that with the money they sent along. So,
I think that's honestly, like you said, I think that falls in the no-brainer section right there. And then you have pretty much a season to figure it out.
So, yeah, and then, you know, kind of – you got to kind of wonder if this is the start of the Mariners' possible breakup here. But looking at their salaries, you know, like Edwin Encarnacion is going to make over $21 million this year, and he's got an option next year for $20. So I don't know what they're going to land there. You know, all these guys are tied up with the exception of the King, and they're not trading the King. So I don't know. Unless they're going to break down and give up on a Tim Beckham or Domingo Santana, who still have arbitration years left. So I would be shocked to see them do that. I don't know how many more of these guys are going to go. I mean, Kyle Seager has 3 years and an option. So he's not going anywhere. Mike Leake and Dee Gordon each have 2 years with an option. So I don't know. I just don't know if there's going to be a lot of takers for these guys unless Seattle's going to give away a lot of money like they did with Jay Bruce.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, though, the only guy I really see out of those names kind of being able to be moved, really, possibly Mike Leake, I don't have any openings, but I think maybe this season or possibly next season, Dee Gordon would be the guy on the move. What about Ryan Healy?
Yeah,
he's getting hurt.
He's actually, believe it or not, Healy has 3 more years of arbitration before he hits free agency. So he's under club control for quite a while. So, but I did want to ask you, do you think maybe, let's use the Yankees as an example here. You know, they've got a boatload of injuries. If some of these guys get to the point where it doesn't look like they're going to come back, would they possibly reach out for a proven RBI guy like Encarnacion to plug into the middle of that lineup? You know, obviously they could take on some of the salary, and it is a club option for next year, so maybe you just don't pick it up and you let him go?
Yeah, I think they would be allowed to get away with that, right?
Yeah, of all the teams, you know, you would think, right?
Yeah, well, I meant without causing any – if you remember, that was the big deal with the Rangers and the Cubs this year was, are they going to drop not pick up the option and then re-sign them?
Yeah. Yeah, because it looks like here, looking into it, Encarnacion has a $5 million buyout. So, you know, you can take him for the remainder of this year at the 21+, and then instead of paying him $20 million next year, you can just buy him out and let him be a free agent.
Yeah, that's like nothing for them.
Yeah, you know, So, yeah, maybe, you know, and it, I think it would have to be a team like that. Like, I couldn't see, say, like the Twins. I couldn't see the Twins doing something like that or, you know, the Rockies or anybody like that. But I could see, you know, if the Yankees, if these injuries continue and, you know, even though they're doing obviously really well, I mean, they're hanging around in first place. You know, we're talking about a veteran guy in Encarnacion who's a proven bat. You know, he could be a nice little addition there down the stretch for a team like that. But I definitely think it would have to be an American League team. He's not gonna help out a National League team very much. So
no.
Even though he can play first base, you know, I know that. I just don't think he's gonna be much help to a National League team.
Now, you know, kind of backtracking a little bit when you were talking about, you know, the NL Central being over. You know, the Brewers, they locked it
up. Over. We don't have to talk about this. Why are you backtracking? Oh, sorry.
No, yeah. Well, I'm just backtracking a little bit, and not so much because of them. You didn't let me finish my segue there, Big Jack. As we were looking at the division, obviously, I would say again for the umpteenth year in a row, just so far, you know, who knows if they're going to change, but hands down the most disappointing division at this point in baseball would have to be the AL Central. You know, great for the White Sox. You're in second place, but you're first out of the four losing teams in that division. The one thing that baffles me is not so much that Minnesota's at the top, but what the hell, Cleveland? What the hell?
Yeah.
This was a former team that was going to win a World Series. I don't, is it that drum? Maybe they should get rid of the drum.
To be fair, can you really call it disappointing? Because didn't you kind of expect it to go like this? I mean, wouldn't you see, like, I would think maybe the NL East would be more disappointing, where the Mets and the Nationals have just really sucked, and you thought we were going to have four contenders to the top of it, and it doesn't look like it. I mean, we expected everybody to be bad in the Central, right?
Yeah, well, I guess in my other work would be, it's just the saddest division. How about that? Is that better?
Oh, easily. Easily. there isn't a division close to being that bad. So,
you know, and again, I'm not knocking the White Sox because, you know, they're trying. Sometimes I wonder what they're trying to do, but, you know, they're still trying to get it together. But, I mean, when you're talking about Cleveland, this was a team that should have really won the World Series over the Cubs, and they blew it. And now, you know, is it a matter of they just can't get anyone in the stands and they don't want to pay? You know, can you answer that for me?
Well, you remember, you know, we went through it all off season. You know, there was so much talk that they were going to deal Trevor Bauer, or it was going to be Corey Kluber, or maybe Carlos Carrasco. You know, they let Michael Brantley go, who's just killing it with the Astros. They went cheap. They're not going to spend any money. They're trying to dump salary. So you kind of figured this was going to happen to an extent. And then, you know, you add on the fact that you lost Kluber. You know, there's still no timetable for his return. And, you know, he's a Cy Young contender every year. You know, you kind of had to figure they were going to run into something like this, but I didn't think it was going to get to the point where they would actually drop under 500 and lose two or three to the White Sox. So it's been a lot worse than I thought. You know, but I mean, if you kind of start to break it down, I remember, you know, I mean, think back to the off season. You had to have heard guys say that, you know, this could be the year Jose Ramirez wins his MVP, you know, because he's been really close the last couple years, and he's just been terrible. you know, and then obviously, you know, it didn't help that Francisco Lindor starts out on the injury list. So, they're just not a very good team. I mean, they bet on Tyler Naquin to stay healthy, and he hasn't. Jason Kipnis kind of looks like he's at the end here. He's hitting 220. They went and got Jake Bowers from Tampa Bay, and I thought that was a pretty good deal. You know, he looked really solid as a rookie, and I thought, okay, he's going to get a chance to play every day. Yeah, he's hitting 216 with five bombs, so that's not working out here. I mentioned Ramirez, Dan. 58 games, he's got four homers, he's hitting 206. So, Greg Allen was supposed to be their top outfield prospect. He's hitting .169. So, yeah, it just hasn't. I mean, you go down the list here, and it's failure after failure on the offensive side for this team. You know, they dealt Yan Gomes, their catcher this year. Roberto Perez is hitting .218, and Kevin Pilecki's hitting .172. You know, you're just not going to beat anybody with the numbers these guys are putting up.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to comment on the Tigers, but I don't think we expected them.
even pitching-wise, Mike Clevinger looked really good for the couple starts he made before he got hurt. You know, Corey Kluber looked like he had it figured out. I know he had a really bad start to the year, but his last couple starts were good. Then he gets hurt. So, you know, you lose two-fifths of your rotation. Bowers really hit a rough patch. He was really good for a while. You know, Carrasco hasn't been great. Shane Bieber's been, average. You know, he's got a 367 ERA, which is really good for the American League. So, he's been there. But, again, you're looking at, your fill-in guys are Jeffrey Rodriguez and then a cast of Triple-A guys they're running through to see if they've got. Maybe they've got something in Plesac who's made a couple starts and has an ERA at 146. But, Pluko hasn't been very good. And, Anderson made a couple starts and he stunk. So, they're just kind of – injuries have gotten to them, and they haven't been able to recover like some teams. And, God, they just haven't hit. If you picked up an Indian in your fantasy league, I'm sorry for you.
To be honest, I didn't vote against them or not draft them on purpose. But, no, I fortunately don't have any kids on my team.
Yeah, well, because you got to think, Jose Ramirez was probably a top, let's say 15 to be conservative. He was probably a top 15 pick, maybe even top 10. With their production you're getting out of them, I mean, that's laughable. Lindor's at least hitting. He did miss about 20 games, but at least he's hitting. Carlos Santana is doing okay, and I know that that Mercado, I believe it's Oscar, he's another one of their top prospects. He's produced since being called up, but, he's not a power guy, so you just got to kind of live with that. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, hell, you could write everybody else off in this lineup. Hell, I mean, look how good Giolito looked against them yesterday. He had a bit of a shaky first inning. He settled down, and then he just mowed him down right and left. I mean, he looked like a Cy Young Award winner.
And the White Sox shut him out.
Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, you wonder now, I mean, will they try to make the sell? Will we see Bauer go? Because obviously with Kluber being hurt, unless he comes back, which honestly, like I said, I don't know when that return date is. I'm just going to see if I can find it here. But, I don't know. And then don't forget, Dan, we didn't even talk about – remember, Danny Salazar was supposed to be the guy who, came in and helped back this team up, and he was going to be, you know, the second ace behind Kluber, he's been nothing but a bust, and, you know, he's still recovering from shoulder surgery. Yeah, here, Kluber's timeline is sometime in August. So, he's probably not going to be much help to them. So, but yeah, I, let me see what their salaries look like here with you know, because I'm sure for, you know, obviously for the right price, you would like to yeah, here you go. Trevor Bauer's making $13 million this year. He actually has one more year of arbitration, Dan. So you got to figure if the Indians are really interested in moving him, they could probably get a pretty good package back for him, don't you think? Oh, no. Did I kill Dan? Dan, did you die? Did you mute yourself? Where'd you go?
All right.
Well,
I knocked my headset off. Sorry. Hello?
But yeah, you would think, Dan, right, with Bauer having one more year of control, they could get a pretty good package for him if they move him.
It's possible, but then what do you do?
Well, you know, then you just kind of pray that, you know, Kluber comes back healthy and you know, like I said, maybe they've got a real thing in, you know, in Plesac, and he'll be able to. You know, to help step up and fill a role there, if, you know, if they don't, you know, because they will get Clevinger back in June. So, I don't know. Maybe they, you know, they can afford to, you know, to make a move like that. Or do you think they would dare, you know, maybe in the off season, do you think they would look to move a guy like Francisco Lindor? He has 2 years of control left before he hits free agency. So I could imagine the market for him would be gigantic, right, if he was put out there?
Yeah, I mean, do you want to further infuriate your fan base with that one move, though?
Well, you know, I mean, if you're going to rebuild, isn't this how you go about it? I mean,
yeah.
You know, that, you know, what the White Sox did with Chris Sale, you know, it was an unpopular move, but, you know, you got to, if you're going to start over, you got to start over, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, the Chris Sale move was a little unpopular. But a lot of White Sox fans jumped behind the – it was time for him to go after he cut up the jersey type deal.
Yeah. I don't blame him for cutting up those jerseys. They were hideous. So, you know.
Well, I like
yeah, you know, because – you know, yeah, you do wonder – you know, otherwise, just kind of, you know, again, you're looking at the team. You know, Kluber actually, he's got a club option for next year. So does Kipnis, but you're not getting anything from Jason Kipnis. Nobody's going to want that. They don't have a ton of movable pieces in their everyday rotation. I'm sure if they wanted to move Brad Hand, he's 16 out of 16 in saves. He's only due $7 million this year and $7.5 million next year. Somebody would take him if they were interested in making that deal. But yeah, you know, other than that, they don't have a ton of movable pieces with value.
I guess you're right. Lindor is their only hope.
Yeah, you know, Lindor or Bauer. You know, if you're going to rebuild and legitimately rebuild and go at it, you know, if Kluber can come back and prove he's healthy, you can move him in the offseason. You can wait to make that move because he's got a couple option years at, you know, at basically ace money, 17 and a half and then 18 million. But if he's healthy, that's good money for Corey Kluber. You know, that's no big deal. Nobody's taking Carlos Santana and his $20 million salary from you unless you're paying it all. You know, there's no way you're getting rid of him. But, you know, you figure with Bauer's status and a year of control on top of it, he's probably worth three top prospects being a starting pitcher, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then Lindor with all, you know, with 2 years of control, he could be worth the same, if not maybe even a little more. You know, that could be a good start to a rebuild if you know who or what you're looking for. And if you could land, you know, say you land six top prospects and a couple other fringe guys, you know, that might turn into something. You know, Cleveland, Dan, nobody goes to Cleveland anyways. Nobody goes to watch the team anyways. It could be a good start on a rebuild for them, couldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and then if they go into rebuild mode, I think that would be the time when I make my Cleveland trip.
Yes. So can you go to Cleveland after the problems you had with everybody there?
I'll be in disguise. I'll make sure to wear my now I can't think of the Indians' name, but, you know, the band.
Chief Wahoo?
Mascot. Yeah, I'll wear my Chief Wahoo stuff. No one will know.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, I mean, they're, you know, they're definitely a team that looks like they're, you know, they seem to be kind of a team that's caught in the middle right now. You know, I mean, obviously Bauer and Lindor are pretty good young players, or actually really good young players. But, you know, you look around otherwise, and it's a disappointing team. So, you know, how do you – I guess you got to go down to go up.
But the White Sox are doing
– Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, the White Sox have shown some – you know, some positives. Obviously, you know, Giolito is a huge positive, and, you know, Ronaldo Lopez has been good. If Carlos Rodon could ever stay healthy, you wonder if they could actually put a rotation together. But, you know. So.
Yeah,
you know, but that, you know, that's how they do, you know. I mean, you got to wonder if, could the Indians be akin to, say, the Brewers? You know, they're obviously a team that, you know, can, you know, you can spend a little money on a player here and there, but not a ton. So, you know, I mean, do they have to kind of look to do it in that mold and hope that things kind of work out?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know, you know, all that good stuff that's in Cleveland or Milwaukee, but Cleveland has three of the four major sports. Milwaukee only has two. We should be in a better position.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you know, we're looking at, I mean, at least, like I said, at least Brewers fans show up. You know, I don't know what Indians fans wanted. I mean, you had a winner for a really long time and never went to the games. So I don't know how much right they actually have to complain if the team decides it wants to rebuild. But, I be turned into Tampa Bay if that makes you happy.
Yeah, well, and there's some truth to that because my parents went to Cleveland after the World Series loss. My dad was able to get those, you know, tickets that were part of a sweet deal where they had all the food inclusive and he only paid $65 a ticket. I mean, scout seats behind home plate at Comiskey or Guaranteed Rate are 130 and deep. A pop.
Yeah, no, I don't know if we got enough time for me to grab it here, but I can tell you that Cleveland is 24th in attendance right now.
Ooh, that's rough.
Yeah.
It's only beginning of June.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to roll out of here for the our Monday. But we'll be on tomorrow at 5:30 to do this kind of thing. We'll get the deal while we're on. FullTimeRadio.com. Get over there, check out what's going on. Get that link. Follow it over to the Facebook page. Get that link while you're over there. You want over there. Why not? Of course, don't forget we also have the Twitter feed and the Sports Time Radio. Feel free to look the only app on Twitter if you'd like to do that. But as always, to us live, but if you didn't miss any of them, all you have to do is head over to the screen.com and click the
competition anything more.